This is a prevailing prayer with GSW, an inspiring teaching that nurtures Christians' ability to pray right by the Spirit. This revelation will open your eyes to how to be led by the Holy Spirit in place of prayer. God bless as you listen.
Today I'll be speaking essentially on our attitude. It is a strategic point that I wanted to raise with us in the course of prayer. The reason behind success and failure is attitude. And it is important that I share this with us so that we understand why it would seem as if some Christians seem to get it right almost all the time. And some will get stuck. They'll be getting it right. And at the point, they'll get stuck. And when they get stuck, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, they begin to attribute their being stuck to the enemy. You begin to hear stories like stagnancy. I'm not moving forward. This is what I wanted, but I've not gotten it. And you begin to hear them say things like that. And even though you know that the path of the righteous, the Bible said, that's like a shining light, that it is shining brighter and brighter. So the Bible did not give us in Scripture the scenario, any scenario where a Christian's life will get stuck or stagnant or refuse to move forward or refuse to produce fruits. No, the Bible said the path of the righteous is like a shining light. It said it will shine brighter and brighter and brighter until the day spring break out, until like it will just be like you are in the night and then you are coming into the morning. And then the moon was out, and then there was no moon, everything was dark, and then it was dark, and then it was light, 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 lighter, 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 lightest, and then the sun will come out. So wherever a Christian was coming from would indicate how far away from that darkness the Christian is. From the moment he became born again, he begins to walk in a light, in a lit up path. And the attitude of the Christian matters a lot in the scheme of things. There are some of us that we are known for sleeping, for example. Everybody knows you can sleep on the water. You are lethargic. You are lazy. There are some Christians, they are born again. They can speak in tongues from the morning of January 1st to the morning of December 31st, speak in tongues. But tell them to do anything where they will apply a bit of themselves. Then there is a problem. A Christian will get employed at a place of work. You get placed to work. You get to work, they give you an assignment. You do it half-heartedly. You do it without any commitment. You would rather ease. Rather complain, that man. I don't know what's wrong with him. He don't know how to do anything. Every time he will give you an assignment. Next thing, he will say you don't know how to do anything. I don't want anybody to give me mental abuse, please. I'm protecting my what's the English you use now? Mental health. I'm protecting my mental health, please. I don't know what is it. He said I should put something in the drawer and then I put it on the table. I said I'll put it there later. Why can't he let me put it there later? Why must I put it there right now? No. What is the big deal? You know, I have a sister, a lawyer. She did a very good job. A very good job. She has two clients. One in Port Harcourt, one in Abuja. She was working with a very big law firm. She did a very good job on the two briefs. She was supposed to immediately dispatch the two, one to Port Harcourt and one to Abuja. But she needed to put a seal, the seal of her law firm. She needs to put a seal. But lo and behold, typical, she had forgotten her seal at home because she wasn't put together. Because she didn't hear when the people said, no, do your things with excellence. Don't be found wanting at the place of your assignment. No, she forgot her seal. And she had done a good job. She had typed out all the things, filled everything, just had to put the seal. The dispatch person was waiting to take it away. And then she went to her boss's office. When she got to our boss's office, she just greeted him and she saw his seal on the table. And she just felt, well, it is the same law firm. Let me quickly take his seal. So he took the seal of the boss, put it there, send the things out. Went home telling herself, she's done a good job. Oh, I've done a lovely job. Unfortunately for her, the one that was supposed to go to Abuja went to Port Harcourt. The one that was supposed to go to Port Harcourt, again, she sent it to Abuja because she was not put together. She didn't have the right attitude to work. The complaint came back, and then the person in Abuja said, "Oh, she sent the right, they sent the wrong thing." Person, then their chairman checked the seal and discovered it was the seal of our boss. So the chairman called the boss and said, "Why are you the one that did this study work? Why are you the one that did this study work?" And the boss said, No. I wasn't the one that handled the brief." And they said for her, "Oh, come here, why are you the one that handled the brief?" And then she began to cry. Like, well, how would your tears solve the problem now? What you have to do, do quick. There is nothing that destroys the destiny of a believer, like being tardy, like being lazy, like lacking the right attitude to work, like committing yourself, putting a bit of yourself in your own profession, becoming a luminary, somebody that people can say, whenever you go to him or rain, day or night, go to GSW. Let him in the work that he does, let him show himself. I kid you not, and I make no mouth. If I begin to teach scripture, I will teach from morning till night, till night, till night, still on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, still on grace, still on truth, still on the supernatural. I would only pause to take a cup of water. I can go back to back to back to back. It is not as a result of as a gift from heaven. You have to be diligent at what the Lord has called you to do. Even though you have the Holy Ghost, even though you are full of the Holy Spirit, even though you are anointed, there has to be the work. Years back, I hear, I remember the general overseer of RCCG saying that he will travel to London. In those days, I used to think, what? He will travel to London to go and write the Sunday school manual. So he will say it, he said, "I went to London to write the Sunday school manual." And in my head, I've been thinking, hey, enjoyment. Enjoyment. How can you make a mistake? A manual that you wrote in London, can there be a mistake? This man of God, I enjoy. Because I was in my little mind at the time, I used to wonder. But then I realized that he was saying that, but it was more than that. He had work to do in London. And then he took along with him the assignment of the church. And so he was applying himself both at his work and then at the church assignment. And he would have to juggle both. Wow. As I grew older, I came to understand that he was so committed to the work of God that he didn't say, "Well, that is not where I get my food from. So let somebody else handle it. Let me go and face my work." He has a job, he has a duty to his employers, and yet he was still the head of a ministry, and he would combine both. While he's thinking mathematics and scripture, juggling the two together. Hard work pays. Smart work pays. Anyone who would commit himself, who would not have the right attitude to work, is ruining his own life. Because what happens then is that you develop a reputation. Reputation is everything in life. How people know you. Reputation is everything in life. How people, when somebody comes, I kid you not, when somebody comes and the person says, "Oh, I want to tell you a gist, and the gist involves Mr. So and so," and you know the person by reputation, and this person begins to talk, and what the person is saying does not fit into that reputation, you are most likely not going to believe the person. Apply yourself. Apply yourself. We are fasting. Some are fasting. We are praying. Some are praying. We are walking in the supernatural. Some are working in the supernatural. The degree at which we take the program we are doing this month is different for everybody. Some took it all in. Some took it 50-50. Some are participating as they can. But it doesn't mean that the number of hours you spend is what will give you results. It is not by power. It is by attitude. Let me say that again. I told you that some people would rather pray in tongues from morning today till December 31st. They say, Abraganga, as I named two or three people that I know. Abraganga, I pray. I pray. I say, hey, I pray all the time. I say, hey, like, I pray from morning to night. If I slept at 9, the next day, 2 a.m., I'm waking up again. I started praying again. I said, did you go to work? No. Did you go look for a job? No. You just sat at home, yes, because there is food. Yes. Say, wow. You are in your 30s. You are still sitting at home. The only thing you do is beg for some money to buy data and then join the prayer. That is not work. Whoever told you that that will prosper you as light to you, and surely it cannot be me. Surely that can, I would never encourage salt, but I know people who that is all they do. They wouldn't dress up in the day, go out, allow the Spirit of God to lead them in the direction where they would begin to do things that would be of benefits to both themselves and the kingdom of God. Anytime you give them any assignment outside of the one that they will sit at home and hide behind the phone, they don't like it. They don't want to go out unless there is free food. If somebody says, oh, I want to take you guys to lunch, they will quickly dress up and they will go out. They can eat free food. They like free food. They like free money. They like pity party. They like people just say, life is tough for me. Life is tough. They like people that say, sorry, sorry, send your account number, let me find something for you. Oh, they love that. But for them to make something of themselves, to leave an indelible mark, it's difficult. And it's all about their attitude. And how do you change that? You just wake up today, and after today's teaching, you say, I'm changing my attitude. And you are not going to change it for one day. I'm changing my attitude. Going forward, people will stop complaining about my work. There was a time as a young minister, whenever I'm preaching, I would overspend time because it would be sweet and church will be clapping. When I was in the debate team in secondary school, I used to debate a lot and I used to do well. And there was this day I debated on democracy versus military regime. And the lady that was debating opposite me, my opponent at the time, she also spoke well. But as I began to speak, oh my, it was so good. Everybody was lost. I had time. I was supposed to speak for 7 minutes, but I spoke. I spoke like Apostle Paul at the Areopagus. At the end of the day, the judge said, "You have spoken well, but you lack discipline. And because you lack discipline, I'm going to give these debates to your opponent. You spoke well. You swayed us." But you didn't keep. I said that was a timekeeper. I said the timekeeper was, and it was true, the timekeeper rang the bell brrr, to tell me that time was up. But I just could read I could read the faces of the people that they had bought into my gabness, into my silky tongue. They had bought into the argument for democracy that I was making. And so I just ignored the timekeeper. I just continued to press in my advantage, and I lost the debate. And at the end of the day, people slapped me on the back and said, wow, the most swaying. Wow, you really know what happened in 1993. Wow, oh wow, you have sagacity. But I took something away from that debate. The time. You will never see me minister beyond my time. When I get on the clock, 1 minute to, I get off 1 minute to. I will always keep to my time. I will never spend a minute extra or 5 seconds extra. Not because I learned that it is not in the time spent. It is in the impact. You learn these lessons to make your life better. You learn these lessons to make your life better. You learn to correct your attitude. When somebody tells you, oh, you have a sinking attitude, say why? You don't greet. Don't say, hey, that's a problem. No. Two or three people told you that you don't, that you have a problem. You are a snob. Don't say, that's their problem. That's how I'm wired. That's how I'm. You have to get a rewire. You go to a mechanic workshop, say, I'm looking for a, sir, are you a rewire? I need to rewire me. Let them put battery and put stammer head in your and rewire you so that you can be rewired. Of course, that's a joke. Now, the Holy Spirit is in you. He is the greatest rewirer of all people. He changes us. Our attitude is everything. Attitude. When I was a young man, I was quite brilliant, but I was lazy. When I was in Loyola College, Ibadan, I was very lazy. I hated school. I hated, it was an all-boys school. That was why I hated the school. At my primary school, there were girls in class. I liked the school. But when they put me in secondary school, they didn't consider the fact that I liked my school to have girls. They just put me in an all-boys school. So when I got to this all-boys school, I never liked it. All my friends that we went to primary school together were at the Calabar High School. And Loyola College was a bit farther from there. And I wanted to see my friends. So every day I would leave Loyola at around 1 and I would walk to a Calabar so that I can see my old friends before when they close. So I was starving class. You know the way of starving class? School was supposed to close at 2. I will leave school by 1. So I would miss the last period. And I didn't see it as anything. I just wanted to play with my friends. That's the truth. I was in GSS1 and I was already jumping fence to go and see my friend. And so I didn't know. Normally, I would have maybe spoken to my parents and said, in my school, but I didn't even know that was a possibility. I had all those stinky attitudes. Very soon, I was known in school as what you call a truant. I was known. I had a reputation for truancy simply because of all the choices I was making that were wrong. And then a day came. I wrote an exam and I saw my result. And I failed. I didn't just fail. I failed woefully. And I told myself, come on, how can you fail woefully? How can you fail woefully? What is wrong with you? You have, if you sit down in class, you listen to the classes, you will get it. Why are you not in class? I began to talk to myself. That is again how to correct your attitude. You have talking sessions with yourself. See, Christians usually would like to talk to people. But we should talk to ourselves. In fact, the Bible recommended it. You won't believe it. He said we should pray one for another. And then he said we should talk one to another. So it's not that I should carry your story and be telling the whole world. It is that I should talk to myself and then talk to you. And then you should talk to yourself and talk to me. There is this thing about you talking to yourself, presenting your case. If you look at the prophets of old, all of them had moments where they were talking to themselves. Not because they were crazy, but because they had to reflect and they had to change certain things in the course of their lives. How can you be in one spot for 5 years? A lady came to me. She brought this billionaire boyfriend to me. I was very rich, owner of four hotels. She brought that to him to me and said, the man wanted to marry her. I looked at the man. I looked at her. I said, no, this man does not want to marry me. Said, why? I said, I said, I do not see love for you in his eyes. I saw deception. I saw, deception is a very strong word. I saw like a cat playing with a mouse. This is what I see. This is a this man is a well-trained street man. He understood every trick in the book when it comes to women. You are trying to land a rich husband. So you are trying to land a rich husband, and he is trying to find someone to sleep with. One of the people sleep with anyway. And that's how you fell into his hand. He is not going to marry you. So bringing him to me so that he can give you assurance. It's not the right way to go. This man followed you here, but he has the intention of marrying you. Oh, she said, no. I mean, no. I did not come to this life to work. I did not come to this life to work. I got a job in his office. That was how he met me. And he gave me a job, and I'm doing the work. But I didn't come to this life to work. I came come to, I don't I didn't come to this life to labor. I said, ha. The path you have chosen here is this mindset of yours that you do not want to take care of yourself. You don't want to work. You don't want to earn money. This lifestyle, it is going to land you in trouble. It is going to put you in a lot of trouble. That was what I told her. She said, just talk to him. He said he'll follow me to the village, that I will go and see my parents. I know he wants to marry me. And I met the guy, I told the man, I know you don't want to marry her. The man started laughing. They left. The next day, the man left her. Moved on. Then she met somebody else, same category, same kind of person. And then she brought him again. Then I said, this, why are you always this thing, this attitude you have towards other people's money? It's a bad attitude. You are covetous. I'm not saying you should marry somebody that is that poor, but you simply wanted somebody that is absolutely ready-made. And so you end up with men who are philanderers. Because these people are married. The wife may be abroad. The wife may be in China. The wife may be in America. But it is obvious these people are married. They may not have a wife in Nigeria with them, but the kind of people you are putting yourself in their space, they are married. They would not marry you. She brought him again. Didn't work. Third time, I said, no. You are not willing to change your attitude. A bad attitude to anything would always give you the wrong result. Either it is love, either it is money, work, parenting, towards correcting your children. A bad attitude is an enemy. A bad attitude is not good at all for you. And you must, as a Christian, work on your attitude. When you notice that some things, somebody says, you don't dress well. Don't be foolish. And the Bible says you should be as wise as a dove. If your friends tell you, why do you dress this way? You always look dirty. Right? Maybe you are one of those of us who didn't grow up with all this fashion, so much fashion craze or fashion sense. We just grew up, we just want to be neat, just be neat. But as a young woman, you say, no, your dress sense is somehow, your color combination is somehow, the way you carry yourself, you are too down, down, no? Too not put together, everything is here and there. Don't say, you're gay. Don't. Pay attention. Pay attention because When you pay attention to a problem when it is still small, you correct it quickly. You see, when you are building a house and it has a small fault in the foundation, you can look at the foundation and correct it. Once you finish building the entire house and then the foundation begins to give you a fault, it is likely that the whole house will then have to come down, which will be more work. Sometimes you have to then do piling, do this, trying to save the structure, costing you more money. But when you have noticed the fault, correct it. Your attitude is important. If your parents, as a young lady, your parents, you have this attitude, oh, don't give your money to a guy. Oh, no, you don't be a smart girl. Don't give your money to a guy. If they told you that, they have not said wrong. It is not good for a young woman to always try to win the affection of a man, giving the guy money. That is what they are saying to you. They are not saying that when you are married, that if your husband does not give you anything or he doesn't have and you have money, you should then hide it. That's silly. And then you say, ah, my mother is not always a foolish person. A man that cannot put money, I will not be using my money. Oh, no. You see, you must have the right attitude. You must have the right attitude. The Bible told us the story of two prostitutes. Both of them are terrible parents. One slept on her baby and killed her baby. The other was sleeping and they stole her baby inside and she did not know. The reason they were both of that attitude was because they really didn't want children. They were prostitutes. Let me say that again. They were prostitutes, so they really didn't care what happens to their children. Why? They didn't want the children. Children are bad for a prostitute. A prostitute is our marketability is in being unattached. Once you have a baby, you have to raise a baby, you have to feed two mouths. Where would you be the baby when you are doing your prostitution? So they really didn't want the baby. The reason they were able to grant that case to King Solomon was because somebody stole somebody's baby. So again, even between two people who don't want to have children, nobody wants to be cheated. So there you can see an aspect of them fighting and saying, no, it's my baby, it's your baby. It is just about being cheated. It has something to do with the child. And the attitude shows why it is prostitution that they were doing. Because attitude affects everything. If you raise yourself, if you put yourself in the place of excellence, you will be excellent. You will be excellent. It doesn't matter which school you went to. It doesn't matter the kind of friends you have. I've had people making excuses. Oh, this. Oh, that. I tell people, oh, no. What do you mean? Oh, no. Those who went to this particular school, they get all the right. I said, no. I've never had that kind of a mindset. I've never had the mindset that anybody that attended any kind of school is better than me. It is impossible for you to be better than me. It is absolutely impossible. There is nothing that can make it happen. Because in the field where I'm called, and with the way God has made me, I am always the best of myself. You will be the best of yourself where you are. I will be the best of myself where I am. So I do not compare myself with anybody. I run my race according to the lane that the Lord has carved out for me. But you must contend that even in running that race, there has to be horizontal connections, relationships, talks, networking, and all these things. Your attitude matters. You keep somebody waiting for too long. You collect somebody's phone number, you don't return their call, they call, you don't bother to pick your call or call back. You tell yourself if it's important, they will call me back. Hey, see, a lot of us miss out on good opportunities because you have a lackadaisical attitude. A lackadaisical attitude is not a good thing for a believer. A Christian should not be too, what do they call it? You shouldn't be too hands-on and desperate. At the same time, a Christian should not be lackadaisical. You should treat people with grace and dignity. A Christian, especially in this season when you are prayed up, when you go out and you are, I was at a meeting yesterday, and it could have been maybe sort of provocative, but no, I knew I've been praying for many days, waiting on the Lord, praying. So if somebody decides to act in a certain way, I have the right to exude grace. I have the right to exude grace. Grace is part of the attitude of a Christian. Some people will say, no. If somebody says something to me, I would do. No, but if you are full of grace, there is an attitude that comes with grace. It gives you superiority. It's like you're sitting on top of a mountain and you're looking down on anybody that is talking, like dogs are barking at you. I mean it. You are not bothered. You are not perturbed. And which leads me to my next point.
Perfect.
You must remember always, you must always remember as a Christian that you are being led. Remember that you are being led. You are not the one doing the leading. Many of us, when we are being led and we get to a place where there is water, the Bible said when Moses was leading the children of Israel, they got to a point. The Bible said the place was called Marah. They were thirsty and they found water. But the water was bitter. And they were like, oh, ah. And immediately some of them, the attitude started to stink, started complaining. These were slaves that came out of slavery and are now free men. Do you know? I saw a documentary once. A leopard was chasing a goat, he wanted to eat the goat because the leopard was hungry. And then the leopard jumped, the goat jumped through the window of a house into a particular room. And then the leopard also jumped into that same house. When the leopard jumped into the house, the leopard realized a problem. The house, even though he jumped into the window, he couldn't jump out. Why? The window was a bit small. So when he was coming from outside, he ran and jumped and he was able to force himself through the window. But when he landed in that room, he couldn't get the momentum to jump again because of the length of that room and because of the size of the window. And the leopard just sat there. The goat also sat there, and the leopard didn't kill the goat anymore. Why? Because freedom was more important to the leopard than food. The leopard realized it is trapped. It couldn't go back home. So immediately the sense of hunger disappeared. Freedom was more important. It wanted to be free. When they discovered it the next day, the goat was sitting beside the leopard. All the leopard wanted was his freedom. He didn't touch the goat. Just, I'm in trouble here. Let me behave myself. If I kill these people's goats, and they now see blood. They will kill me. Let me just be a good leopard. Let me stay in the room. When the owner comes, the owner will see that I didn't kill his goat. The owner will let me go. I'm glad I added that, but in my head, that was how I interpreted it. That the leopard realized I wanted to steal their goat, but let me leave their goat alone. And the next day, they sent the leopard free. And it ran. Why? Because of its freedom. The children of Israel were slaves. They were set free. That was more than enough for them to be happy all their life. All their life. They were adults. When they were with Pharaoh, they were working hard. Now they are with Moses. They refuse to work. Oh, Moses must give them food. Their detriment. But not children. Moses must give them food. Moses must give them water. Moses must control weather. Because they cannot come and die in the desert, and the son of the desert is very dangerous. So Moses had to control the weather. He had to put a cloud of glory on top of their head so that the cloud was controlling the sun shine so that they didn't die. under the weight of the sun. Any of you who have been to a desert before, you will see that if there is no weight of glory, if there is no cloud of glory, see the earth in the desert, you'll be seeing stars. You'll be dehydrated. You'll be seeing stars. But again, Moses gave them cloud. The cloud covered their head. Oh, so that way the sun did not strike them by day. At night, there was a pillar of fire, so they couldn't get cold. The cold, the pillar of fire was giving them heat. They had warmth. Look at the luxurious life these people are living. These are slaves. Slaves. They were working every day, collecting ration for food. The Bible said they work all day, and they will give them a ration of food and a ration of water. They were not getting paid. They were working for Pharaoh, and he set them free to the point where he was not giving them free food, free water, and he was giving them weather controlling ability. And they were in the Bible said God created around them a cloud, an atmosphere that protected them from sickness, from attack, from every such thing. They were given their own atmosphere by God, and they were enjoying. Bible said their clothes did not grow old, their standards did not grow old. They were getting food, but they were still, their attitude began to stink. Their attitude was thinking of ingratitude, of entitlement, to the point where Moses would get angry. And every time Moses gets angry, because he was the one with the key to their protection, he would just withdraw it. Suddenly, they'll have a plague. People will die. Suddenly, snakes will bite them. Suddenly, another problem will happen to them. Why? Suddenly, Amalekites will attack them. Why? Because the person that they were grumbling against was in charge of their protection. This was where the typical African churches got the idea of, I'm your covering. That the, many of the pastors will say, I'm your covering. If you offend me, I will do my covering. It was from there they got that idea. But nobody is anybody's covering in today's church. That is the truth. You are full of the Holy Spirit. You carry the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. You have all that God has to give you for life and godliness. Therefore, your attitude should reveal that. I said, remember that you are being led. And sometimes God will lead you to a place. The place will be so difficult. You will be working with the boss. The boss will make your life hard. You will be telling God every day, God, please, how this job? And the Lord will say, go there again tomorrow. Yeah, this is where you'll be now for some time. And you will know that this is where God wanted you to be. And you'll be there and you'll suffer through it for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. And then sometimes God will take you away from that place and bring you to somebody, somewhere where you will have a large place where there is more than enough. You have food, you have drink, you have money in the bank, you even built a house, you buy a car, you are enjoying. And then one day God says to you, you've also spent 5 years, I said to me, but you said, no, Lord, 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 wait, wait, wait. You know that you have been leading me. When you led me to that place that was difficult, I followed you willingly. Now you brought me to this place. There is food, and there is water, and there is clothes, and I'm fine. Don't lead me away. Don't lead me away from this place. You can go and lead other people. I have come to the place where I will stay. I have come to the place where I will rest. You see, and some of us are like that. We forget that we are being led. Our attitude to the Lord seems to make us assume that is. They call it hedonism. Believing that you are following God for the benefits, for pleasure. They call it hedonism. It is the gospel of hedonism. When a Christian believes that the primary reason he or she is in Christ is so that they can enjoy the pleasures of life. You know, many of our ministers and pastors. I'm not against preaching prosperity. I'm against not understanding it. People preach what they don't understand. It is good for Christians to be wealthy. It is good for Christians to have everything they need. But it is not good for Christians to make that the be all and end all of their faith. It is not good. First time I'll see a miracle, live miracle in my life. I've seen miracles. The one I will see that changed my life the first time was in 2006. Myself and a minister of the gospel. Our campus fellowship leaders at the time. He was the campus fellowship president. I was the programs coordinator, the acting programs coordinator for BSF, Baptist Student Fellowship. And we took a bus ride from Iwo Road in Ibadan. We are going to Iwo Town, where our school was, Bowen University at the time. And while we were on this bus ride, as soon as we got in the bus, because Iwo is a Muslim town, all the people in the bus were Muslims with big scarves on their head. These are fast with a lot of rags on their head. And we were fearless. So this brother began to preach in English, and I was interpreting in Yoruba language. It was a typical thing to do in those days when you take a bus. Maybe they still do it. Now it's been years since I took a bus now, a public bus, but we used to do it in those days. And after preaching, we sat down, believing that we have done well for the kingdom. At least we have told them that nobody gave their life to Christ, but we prayed for them and we sat in the car. Suddenly we hear somebody shouting, Farouk or Taufik, we're calling the name of somebody in the bus. Farouk. Farouk, Taufik, Taufik, Taufik. And the person did not respond. And then they told the driver to park. Then they said the guy had died. They said they went to discharge him from UCH Ibadan, University College Hospital. And they were taking him to a traditional healing center at Olukpono. Olukpono, just the town after he woke. That they said they should go and bring him because he wasn't responding to treatment in the hospital. So that was where they were taking him to. They didn't bother taking an ambulance. They just put him in a bus. And the guy gave up the ghost while we were in the bus. We were there. I was there. The other brother was there. The people that preached were there. We were there. When the man died, we didn't even think that we can pray for him or heal him. It didn't occur to me. I cannot pray for the other guy, but it didn't occur to me that that is a possibility. The man is dead. What do we do now? I have to get back to school. So the driver parked and said, "Ha, we have to. They have to put one leave on the bus, and then they have to stop another bus to put some passengers because they didn't want to carry a dead person plus us because of the implications." And the guy had tuberculosis. When they were telling us, those of us that are educated were like, "What? You carry somebody with a TB, with TB in the bus and all that." This man in this bus, this missionary, he was in the bus. He didn't pray when we prayed. He didn't do anything we did. He just sat down there gently, wearing faded Ankara. And the man, while all of us were standing beside the road complaining and lamenting, like the children of Israel, complaining about the driver, timing, why did they take the van, why did they put him in the bus, why didn't they use an ambulance, when we were talking about all that among ourselves, how to get out of that situation, this missionary went to this young man and he called his name. And he said, "In the name of Jesus, I command your life to come back into you." And the man woke up. The dead came back. The driver was screaming. Conductor was screaming. All the Muslim people that didn't respond to our own preaching, they were jumping. All of us got back in the bus. Till we got to the room, we were singing, "Oshe, Oje." I didn't know all the Muslims know the song. They were singing it without anybody teaching them. All of them were singing their part. It was beautiful. And I was in the bus and I had sudden chills. I realized that that man, that missionary, oh, he had the right attitude. He understood the gospel far Far more than we did. We were young, but he understood the gospel far more than we did. What he did there was more impactful than the 1,000 words that we spoke earlier. Nobody could argue with the result and the effect of the workings of the miracles of God that he brought to bear. You see, nobody could argue. It was total. It was a nuclear weapon. That miracle changed the life of many. Changed my life. I began to believe God for the supernatural from that day. I began to believe so much that miracles are real and that I am somebody who can also walk in miracles. And that changed my attitude because before then I had an offish attitude towards spiritual things. Even though I was in the fellowship, I was doing many of the things I was doing because I was raised and it was religious and it was the way I knew to live. But after that, my attitude changed. I began to pay more attention to these things, according to how the scripture put it. So he said that, what shall we do to these things? How do we know these things? Explain this way to us. I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, your attitude matters. When your attitude changes, it will change how you look at things. It will change your perspective. I saw a miracle. Other people saw the miracle. Some people saw it and clapped. Hey, glory to God. You saw a miracle today. Some people saw it and were like, maybe the man didn't really die. Maybe he fainted. Some people saw the miracle and said, oh, we are not sure, but I saw the miracle and I said, my Lord and my God, I want to be able to do this. See, attitude matters. Because of that miracle that I saw, changed my mindset. When I read the scriptures, I would read it with understanding as one who is gleaning, who is trying to gain advantage, to learn certain secrets for me that are not clearly written, that I might become like Christ is indeed. Attitude. You have a fast mouth. Hey, charge it down. You are stingy. It is a bad behavior. Don't be. You steal, don't steal. You lie, don't lie. It's true. You are somebody that cannot keep people's secret to yourself. Stop it. I was still talking to somebody 2 days ago. I spoke to A, and then it was somebody else that sent me a message. I was like, why is this thing? Why does this person do this? Why would I talk to you and then somebody else will be replying me? How did this matter not stay between the two of us? It is still as a result of attitudinal issues. As praying Christians, we should eschew these things. We should eschew these things. It is very important. Eschew these things. Keep an atmosphere of joy. Be determined to make something, make an impact in your own life. Make something of yourself. Be determined to make a life, to leave an indelible mark. Be determined that when people think of you, or when they are talking of you, after you leave a place of work, they should be able to say, wow, you know, I'm quite proud of the fact that all those I ever ministered with years ago, they are proud to say to people now, that is my product, or we used to be in the same church, or that's what I've been got. Oh, it used to be. They would say it. Why? Because I still take the same attitude to work as I did then. I still focus on it the way from the moment that I knew that this was my part. I never took it for granted that it is work that I've come to do. And I work and I focus on it day in, day out. I never play with it. I never treated it with levity. I never allowed anybody to build me sand castles and call me one Gio or one daddy or one uncle and begin to bow for me and I begin to feed on the adoration of men. I never allowed it. I remained grounded. I was deliberate about it. Surrounded myself with people that can speak to my face and say, hey, and I'll be able to say, hey, back. I wanted the attitude to be right. I say the same to you. Change your attitude and you will change your life. If you begin today and you say, No, from today I will no longer be lazy. From today I will aspire for better. I would allow myself to be led wherever the Lord says to go. I will go with Him. I would exchange the old for the better, or exchange the old attitude for the best attitude. I would exchange the old for the best. I would let go of how I used to process things, and I will move into how God wants me to process things. When you begin to think, act, talk, behave this way in the month while we are praying, you begin to change. You notice that you are changing. This is how they say somebody has changed. When they say you have changed, it is your attitude. They will look at you in the mirror, you look the same. But yet they will notice that your speech has changed. They will notice that the way you treat people has changed. Everybody will be like, ah, is it the same person? Because why? Because they notice that a lot of you have changed. You have changed. There's a transformation that they can now see in you, that they are like, ah, this is a good change. Normally, this guy does not stay at home. They say, as soon as he doesn't stay at home, ah, this that one. He doesn't stay at home. He's just everywhere. He's just always walking about, coming home at 1 a.m., at 2 a.m. Suddenly, you change your attitude. You come home on time after work. You come home today, tomorrow. You become consistent. They're like, wow, we cannot bank on this change to make decisions. Oh, that means you have effectively changed who you are. Why? Because now, because you're at home, your wife cannot say, okay, daddy will be home by 6, so I cannot go to church, or I cannot go to the market, or I cannot do another job, or I cannot. So, because before you are not at home, so they cannot even bank on you to plan. So now you notice the change is affecting to everybody. It will affect your children, affect your wife. The same thing with the wife. Attitude. If you change your attitude, you change. When you change for the better, it is for the benefit of everyone. And it changes your testimony among the saints and in your own home. There is nothing as difficult as a born-again Christian who does not know how to change. Those are religious people. Religious people, they carry Jesus on their head, they wear him on their face, they do not change. They want to change everybody else, but they do not change, and they believe they shouldn't. Oh, those ones, the Bible, Jesus Christ said they would die in their sins. Was that not what he told them? He said they would die in their sins. Why? Because they couldn't change their attitude. You are born again, you are for the Lord. Sit yourself down, work on your attitude. Change for the better. Do it for the sake of your own testimony among the saints and of your own achievements in life. Your attitude is everything that matters. Change your attitude. It is very important. I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that your hands are blessed, that your attitudes are changing, that you are becoming better. The best version of yourself is how you live your life from day to day. I declare that the Lord has strengthened you on every side, and the Lord has blessed you with corn, with wine. Thank you, Father, for this is true and faithful. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory!
Glory.
We hope you have been blessed by the teaching and revelation you heard today. For more spirit-filled teachings, please visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com. God bless.